Oh, you are. So are you a Sabbath keeper?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay.
Today is the Sabbath, actually. But
what's that?
Today is actually.
Yeah, I was talking about Sabbath keeper. So I have a question. You got the Stanley Cup on your shirt. So you keep the Sabbath. Is our body the temple of the Holy Spirit? Him and I were just talking about this. Is our body the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, it is.
Why would we hang worldly, carnal things on our body?
I am a hockey fan.
Yeah. But is that godly?
It's not ungodly.
It isn't?
No, I don't think
is
so.
Is hockey violent?
You can play football. You can do all
this. I used to be an ice hockey coach. It's violent. You know what Psalm 11:5 says right from the Old Testament? You know what God hates?
Idolatry.
Those who love violence.
Oh, well, yeah. But
that's violent. A big hit. Oh, the crowd roars.
Oh, yeah.
I used to tell, I was an ice hockey coach. My son was a defenseman. I used to teach them all the time. Any hit that doesn't cause blood is a good hit.
But
we were vicious.
We all fall short, dude. We all fall short. We all sin. It's worldly. It's the
so you just
world.
So we just sin without recognition of what Christ has done? We just,
I
can just sin?
I don't think hockey is a sin. I think I have to disagree with that.
How about James 4:4? If you're friends with the world, you're an enemy of God.
I agree with it 100%.
So that's friendship with the world.
Well, sure, but...
And you're friends of the world and God hates you. You're an enemy.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
No.
Psalm 5:5 says God hates those who practice wickedness. Sin.
True.
But you're practicing it.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You go and entertain it. There,
no, actually,
sodomite approving.
Either.
Sodomite approving. No, the NFL, NHL, drunkenness.
I agree that.
They got their ice girls skating out there that are dressed like harlots to woo your flesh into lusting for them.
But
this is of God.
And the blood of Christ washes my sins away.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, yes, it does.
Not sins that you keep doing. Have you read Hebrews 10:26? We just talked about
again,
this too.
Hebrews 10:26
is Old Testament.
Are you going to be judged by your works? Is that what you're telling me?
My faith and my works back each other up.
Well, the works are useless.
You should know James. James 2.
Your clothes are like filthy rags.
No.
Your works mean nothing.
Filthy rags. We just talked about this. Watch this. Filthy rags. Explain it to me. Where did that come from?
Compared to the blood of Christ.
Where did that come
holy
from?
Holy garments. Whatever you do on this world is useless.
You're not answering. Where did filthy rags come from?
I just said. Compared to Christ.
Talking about the Word of God here. Do you know the Word of God?
There's no one on this earth without sin. There was only
so you're
one.
Giving me man-made platitudes. Isaiah.
Man-made
filthy
platitudes.
Rags comes from Isaiah. This is a favorite evangelical mindset. Filthy rags comes from Isaiah. Let me give you what it is. I have an article on this. The filthy rags was Isaiah was telling Israel. Israel was a wicked, stiff-necked, corrupt, hypocritical nation. Israel was doing the sacrifices God always called for and worshiping idols. And Isaiah was risen up and he said to Israel, your works are like filthy rags to a holy God because you do the profane, you're hypocrites. And the filthy rag was actually a woman's menstruation pad. That's really what it was. Right in the other verses, right around that in Isaiah, he talks about those who are righteous, those who obey God. The Bible teaches without you having the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, which we need. I don't have perfect righteousness, neither do you or you. But then having righteousness of your own by how you live because you're a transformed person and not living in willful sin. You need both righteousness. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you willfully sin. So filthy rags is terrible. They pull out of context.
Let me ask you.
They pull it out of context. I got an article on that.
Do you believe in the rapture?
It's not a biblical term.
It isn't. And guess who comes first? Satan.
Yes.
So all these people that...
I don't teach that. I don't teach preacher rapture. Maybe the evangelicals do. I don't.
A special preacher to preach out of Revelation.
No, he's coming back. 1 Corinthians 15 and Matthew 24 says he's coming at the last trump.
Right.
Jesus is coming back at the last trump. The whole preacher rapture came because of Hal Lindsey in that book, the Left Behind series. That is a lie. It's Satan's lie to tell Christians... Jesus is going to come and get you and pluck you out. You'll never have to suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, everybody who lives godly in Christ is going to suffer persecution. But let's go back to the Sabbath. You're a Sabbath keeper and you watch NHL hockey. I can't understand. That's a total holy with profane. The Sabbath is gone.
According to the Old Testament.
The Sabbath is gone. No, not according to the Old Testament. James 4:4, 1 John 2:15, if you love the things of the world. 1 Peter 1:15 says, be holy in all your conduct. None of that's holiness. But let's go back to the Sabbath.
And it sounds holy. But, we all fall short again.
But without holiness, you won't see God. Hebrews 12.
Yes, I will. I've been saved. I've been baptized.
The blood of Christ doesn't cleanse you as you continue to sin on.
I don't think it's a sin to walk.
It is a sin to be worldly.
See, that's where we're
it is a sin to be worldly.
It's not worldly.
It's a sin to dress like the culture, entertain like the culture, watch vile, wicked, idolatrous, entertainment. But let's go back to the Sabbath. The Sabbath is gone.
Pretty much. Do you believe that the United States...
Wait, the Sabbath is gone, and the Sabbath won't be eternal, and I can prove it. You know why?
Do you believe that the United States is a new...
That's a whole... I know where you're going. That's a whole other topic. For a guy that watches hockey, I mean, I could never get there with you until you see that. Until you see that's a sin. How can I go deeper with you?
God bless you.
You know who God blesses?
Those who ask Him.
Those who obey Him. That's what the Bible says. That's not obedience. Yeah, and living like the culture isn't obedience. See, the Spirit of God gives you the desire to obey. Jesus said, why do you say you love me? You don't keep my commandments. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They come out of the world. They're not of the world. That's the world. I used to be that. I know. I know. I wasn't born this way. You have to transform your mind by the Spirit of God. Be willing to have that. You can't hold on to both. You hold on to the world. Jesus said you have two masters. You love one, you'll hate the other.
How do you get preferred seating, a bigger mansion in heaven? Is it by those you've saved? Is it by those you've helped?
First of all, I could care less about preferred seating, any of that. I'm seeking after Christ and the kingdom of God, and I'm seeking one thing. I don't care what my reward's going to be. I'm seeking one thing. At the end of my life, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I'll be the janitor in heaven. I don't care.
Amen to that.
All right. So I don't know why you're asking about bigger mansions.
I'm simply saying, faith without works is useless.
Faith without works is dead.
Yes,
and faith with living in sin is dead.
Do you think Billy Graham is going to have a mansion in heaven?
Did we just talk about Billy Graham? God appointed. Billy Graham was a wicked false teacher. He has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I don't care about that. He led more people to Christ than any other preacher.
Really? Yeah. Can I tell you a story about Billy Graham?
Have you seen his altar calls?
Oh, man, I know. I got articles all about Billy Graham on my website.
Do you think those people are because they followed your false Christ?
Let me tell you about Billy Graham. Billy Graham, my mother, who died at age 90, went to an altar call of Billy Graham's one time.
Yeah.
And Billy Graham told her in the greatest lie Billy Graham used to say, now come up front, raise your hand, say a prayer. You believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus... say this prayer with me. And they had all the music that moved you up to the altar. They didn't have none of that in the Bible. All this mood-altering music. That's another thing the evangelicals have wrong. Mood-altering instrumental music. My mother raised her hand, hold on, at age 45 and said a prayer. All right. My mom lived her whole life a wicked, worldly, gambling, sodomite-approving everything lifestyle. But because Billy Graham told her she raised her hand, she was going to heaven, to her deathbed, she believed she was going to heaven because of wicked, evil Billy Graham's theology.
So
don't you tell me about Billy Graham, that wicked, false teacher.
Saved. Let's move on to one
wicked,
saved,
false teacher.
One
she hung on to that. That's a lie.
I know what it is, but
well, that's what he taught.
Well, I know. I'm just saying.
You just told me he was the greatest.
If you're written life in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're saved, and you know it in your
really?
Heart. Yes, you are.
Really?
I don't have to live in fear.
That's not...
Jesus died for my sins.
That's not guaranteed.
I'm going
to
ask
you... Did you know Revelation says if you add or take away from the Word of God, what happens to you?
You're going to hell.
You get your name taken out of the Book of Life. It's not permanent, sir.
That is an interpretation.
That is not an interpretation. That's exactly what the Word of God says.
A lot of preachers preach on...
The Bible says... The Bible says, Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, you won't be forgiven. Bam! Proof! There's not one saved, always saved.
Okay.
So salvation is a covenant. We have a covenant with God.
Yeah.
I have a covenant with my wife. I can leave that and root it. You can leave your covenant if you're born of God in this covenant with God. There's no such thing as raise your hand, say a prayer, go to church on Sunday, live the way I want, like the pattern of the culture, and I'm going to heaven no matter what because of Jesus did. No, you must become eligible for the grace of God. And you know how you do that? Let me give you a scenario.
Either one of you
been to court? Have you been to court?
Sure.
You stand before a righteous judge. And what's your first name?
Kevin.
Kevin. I'm Jim. This is my wife, Debbie.
Jim, Debbie.
So you're standing before a righteous judge. You're standing before a righteous judge. And he goes, Kevin, we got you on video. Wow, you robbed a Quick Trip. And you go, yeah, I did it. And he goes, ooh, wow, you know, I'm responsible to give you the sentence. And he's going to go, but Kevin, I've looked at your record. You've never done a crime before. And you go, no, I just decided to rob that bank that day. And the judge goes, you know what? I'm feeling merciful today. What say you, Kevin? Now, hold on. The judge has grace. He can give you 6 months probation or 10 years in jail. You must make yourself eligible for grace. You don't just go, whatever, judge. Give me whatever. I'm going to go out and rob more Quick Trips, whatever. The judge is going to go, you're making a mockery out of my court. 10 years teach you a lesson. If you go, Josh,
please,
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, and you make yourself eligible for grace, the judge goes, I see something in you. Don't come back in my courtroom, and it'll be off your record in 6 months.
Yeah, wait,
you don't get grace automatic.
It's only through the blood of Jesus. So
no, no, that's not true. I just showed you. True. It is not through the blood of Jesus. That means the whole world's going to hell,
grace,
heaven.
There is no option to get to heaven without grace.
You need grace, but you have to become eligible for it, and you have to leave your sin for it. Not one sin will be forgiven that you hold on to. Hebrews 10:26 and 27 says, there is no more sacrifice for willful sin, but a fiery indignation. Being of the world is willful sin, Kevin.
So you're telling me Jesus won't let me into heaven because I'm wearing a hockey shirt?
No, because you're worldly.
No, I'm not worldly.
Yeah, you are worldly. Anybody who loves hockey is worldly. Anybody who loves the NFL is worldly. That's not the of the Father. That's of the enemy, Satan.
I agree with you.
Then you're not going to enter in because you must be of him. And what that's fruit of is, here's what it's fruit of, is that the Spirit isn't there, because if the Spirit's there, here's what it does, it convicts you of all sin.
I think there's two churches.
It convicts you of all sin.
Two churches of the seven in Revelation that are God approved. The rest are going to hell.
Well, actually, what did Jesus say? It's more proof. Jesus says, repent in Revelation 2 and 3, or you're going to be removed.
Oh, the Pentecostals, they're the Baptists.
Those are all false. Those are all false. We and I talked about that. Any man-made denomination is false. There isn't one. So I don't belong to one. I belong to Christ. I belong to the ecclesia, the called out ones.
You don't attend a church. See, you're told that...
I'm part of the one body. Yeah, I have fellowship.
You're told the fellowship.
I have fellowship with my wife and the other saints I know. Yeah.
It only takes two.
Yeah, oh yeah. But I mean, I have fellowship, but we're not to fellowship with worldly people that keep pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter, worldliness, like the culture. You know, I preached the last two Super Bowls. You ever preach at a Super Bowl? Maybe you don't street preach. I go to the Super Bowl, and we preach, my wife with me. And it's amazing to me.
You really literally should have a soapbox.
I'm a preacher.
I know.
I don't need a soapbox.
It kind of looks good for you.
No, I don't need one. No, the pulpit was invented. They used it one time in the Bible in Nehemiah 5 for a prophet to get lifted way up high. The evangelical system turned it into a pulpit of power where only people stand there and they get all the authority. The pulpit is never ordained in the New Testament. All men should be able to speak freely and use their gifts. But anyway, I preached at the last two Super Bowls. And you know what's amazing to me? Is very few people there. Of the world. Man, we preach in front of gangbangers, prostitutes, drug addicts,
that's
wicked people.
You're doing it right now.
Well, no, but this is like a fun crowd compared to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
trust me.
You.
Miami? You ain't seen a Miami crowd. A crowd deep in Miami. Guys with gold teeth, and they're walking around. You know what? I didn't have anybody threaten to beat me up, mock me. Nothing. I had a whole bunch of guys thanking me. Hey, man, thanks a lot. You know what you say is true about the... Thanks a lot. You know who hates me and wants to beat me up? I got beat up at a Baptist church about 4 months ago.
Really?
On public sidewalk. By their security guards. They stole my phone and my gospel signs. Gave me a cauliflower ear. You know who hates me? The religious people. You know why? Because they're self-righteous. And they think they got it going on. And when you call them out of their sin, they hate you. The people of the world... Remember the parable of the guy in the gutter versus the tax collector? The guy in the gutter knows who he is. They go, you're right, unless I repent, I'm going to get out. The guy goes to church every Sunday, he's like, who do you think you are? We go, wait a minute, there's going to be a harsher judgment for you and you if you attend false religion than the guy in the gutter. So, absolutely true, worldliness will separate you from the love of God.
I have the needle.
It is very narrow.
Literal thing.
And you can't be friends with the world. You can't be pleasing your flesh. Romans 8 says you can't please God in your flesh. Hockey, football, all that stuff is just flesh. There's nothing spiritual, good, and godly about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can't live in that. You must come out of that. And him and I were talking. You have to be willing to lose your entire life.
Challenging. Yes, it is.
God is jealous. He's a jealous God.
Do you watch any preachers like Pastor Arnold? I watch Bible teachers like Pastor Arnold Learning.
No, he's a false teacher.
Oh my God.
No. Here's what I do. I would not listen to any man until, ready? I test his gospel. It's right on my gospel card. I preached it to you. The shed blood of Jesus, true repentance coming out of the world, be born again, holiness and obedience, self, getting away from man-made religion and all that, and enduring the faith. So first I test his gospel. That right there throws out 99% of the false teachers on the internet. They all teach a false gospel. Then I look.
Know who he is.
Yeah, oh, I do. I know Arnold Maurice. My mother used to listen to him, and I warned her about him.
Son took over.
He's the one that taught the demon seed doctrine, I believe. Yeah. But anyway, and then look and see their life. Have they come out of the world? Have they come out of the pagan holidays? Do they teach the people that listen to them how to come out of the culture and actually obey God in how they talk, act, live, dress? I was just teaching him, you know, God shed animals the first blood and put man in tunics, and it never changed. This isn't Muslim. God did this. My wife covers her head. It's not Muslim. The Bible teaches that. Nobody does it anymore in the American church. Why? Because it's been feminized, and it's worldly, and it's carnal. So this is what I'm telling you. There's a difference that you have to know, and to walk in the kingdom of God means you have to leave the world.
When you were married, were you married in the church?
No. Okay.
Nope. How did you have a pastor or anything?
We don't. No. We don't need any of that stuff.
So
I mean, God said to Adam and Eve, "You're married." Yeah. Marriage comes when two people commit to God, and God is there, and they're there, and it's a marriage. You don't need now. In this culture, you need a license if you want insurance and stuff. There's nothing sinful about that. We got a marriage license, but...
But you
got
to do it. You got to do it.
Well, I mean, if you don't have to... I tell people. I have people come to me all the time. They go, do I have to get a marriage license? And I go, no. Am I living in sin if I don't have a marriage license? I said, absolutely not.
But all the shacking up people...
No, but wait. Oh, no. Hold on. But if a man commits to a woman for life and she commits to him for life, that piece of paper means nothing. Look at your divorce rate. That paper means nothing. It's a commitment. It's a covenant.
What do you think of the
it's a covenant.
The Cain and Abel and the Kenites, and Moses said they're gonna be bound to wander the desert and never have a home?
You're talking about blacks.
Kenites. Cain. The disciples of the descendants
I know that.
Of Cain.
Right, I know.
Kenites.
I ran into a guy, and he believes that was the descendants of the blacks. Is that what you're talking about?
No, the blacks is...
Because I don't teach that.
All the races.
There's one race.
I think there was all the races put on Noah's Ark.
There's only one race.
Noah's Ark.
There's only one race.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. They all come from Adam and Eve.
That's true.
There's one race. They all have red
Thank
blood.
You. God Thank bless you.
Test yourselves. You've got to come out of the world. You got to come out of man-made religion. We love you. You got my contact info. Let me know I can help you. I got to get back preaching. And I don't need a soapbox. I'm kidding you. I love you guys. Test yourself. God be praised.